king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. This was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, and delivered him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending that after the Passover he was to bring him out to the people.
Right.
So Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer for him was being made to God by the church. Earnest prayer was being made to God by the church. So now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the doors were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter upon the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said unto him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and he followed him. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. But thought he was seeing a vision. He did not know that it was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. For the next few moments, if I can, I would like to speak to this church from this subject, taking a chance on a dream. Taking a chance on a dream. You can be seated this morning. See, the problem begins with the lineage of preacher killers. Herod had basically decided that he was going to put an end to this growing church, so-called preaching the name of Jesus. He thought that he was going to finally end what his grandfather could not do.
Right.
See, the lineage goes back to when Herod the Great and had a contact with three magi, or three kings from the east, and they were on their way to Bethlehem, following the star in the sky, seeking this child king, this Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Scholars had taught them, and their studies had led them to know that the King of all kings was taking a form in the form of a child, and was born that night in the city of David. A child was coming to us in Bethlehem. But because of his greed, because of his evilness and his wrathness, there was no room in this kingdom for another king. There was to be no other God in the kingdom save him. Herod tells these kings, he tells these what we call wise men, magi, whatever your study begins to show you who they are or what they are, he tells them, "When you find this king, come again this way. Tell me where he is, and I will go and worship him also." But there was no truth in his declaration, only deceit in his heart, in his spirit. He did not want to worship this king. He did not want to bow down to any other king or any other god but himself. He sought in his heart to kill Jesus. But because Joseph was warned that night in a dream, upon the word and the warning of the angel to the wise men, when Joseph is warned in his own dream, the wise men tell them what the king has planned in his heart. They go off another direction, and Joseph takes Mary and the child to Egypt. And so Herod has no other choice to be brought against the kingdom. And he begins to kill young toddler boys under the age of 2.
That's right.
Lining the streets with their blood. Killing the innocents. And he was just the beginning of a lineage of preacher killers.
That's right.
The next would be Herod Antipas' son. As he would begin to take rule and take reign over the land itself. He would rule in the days when Jesus was growing. But yet not only that. When the ministry of John the Baptist was budding. Jesus was just in the beginning of his ministry, but John had been preaching the ways of repentance and preparing the way of the Lord for years. After his time in his own wilderness, Peter and John and James had not even yet been really got into the place where they were fully on board with the true, full message. They were following, but still very quite inquisitive on exactly what they believed about Jesus. But John the Baptist was convinced, and he knew. And he was basically the preacher for the kingdom. He was basically the evangelist of the land. And when Herod decided that he wanted his brother's wife, this was something that John knew he needed to address. And so John the Baptist would point his finger in Herod's face and tell him that his thoughts and his deeds towards his own sister-in-law were evil, and that it was not right, that it was ungodly, and that it would not be so. And because it displeased the sister-in-law, her daughter would one day dance before Herod. And because the seductress dance of the woman was so vexing, he asked her, "Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." But being young and being not really being understood in her own mind, not knowing what to ask and what to ask if she could have anything from the king, she asked her mother. And because the conviction and the preacher was so strong, and because she knew that she was done wrong and there was evil in her life, she said, "Tell Herod you want John's head." A preacher brought down by the seductress of a woman. It's an old story, but all too common. Herod didn't really want to bring John the Baptist in because he knew the following that he had. He knew that he was truly a man of good and righteous character. But because he had made a vow, because he had made a promise to the dancer must be paid. John was captured. He was killed. And his head was put upon a platter and served to those that had requested it. I find it very, very fitting for the reason when Herod Antipas was asking Jesus just a few years later, "Do me a sign. Show me a wonder. Give me a miracle. Let me see the work of your hand. You are the King of the Jews, are you not? Are you the one who is Messiah? Are you the one who they have declared to be God incarnate?" But Jesus answered him not a word. Because when you silence the man of God in your life, when you silence the voice of the preacher in your life,
right,
when there's rebellion against the one that has been sent to you to bring hope out again, light out again, conviction out again, set your past away from you. When you silence the man of God, you will ultimately silence God to you. God answered Herod not a word. And so now, the lineage that passes to Herod Agrippa, and seeing the uprising that is happening among the Jews, seeing that how they were torn in and of their kingdom because now many were following and believing the message of Jesus Christ. For after the day that Jesus ascended again, yet in his last time into heaven, and then they go and they tarried in Jerusalem for 10 days. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, we know that they were in one place. They were in one mind. They were in one thought. They were in a spirit of unity, because unity is not an emotion. Unity is a decision. And when they were seeking God, praying for the promise of the Father, on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when they began to question what was happening in that room, Peter with the 12 stood and began to declare unto them the provision of Scripture, of what says, "This is that which Joel spoke out, that in the last days, thus saith the Lord, He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh." And when they were pricked in their hearts, they asked, "What must we do to be saved?" And He preached the greatest salvation message unto them that could ever be heard. It's quite simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and the remission of sins. And you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that day, 3,000 were added to the church. Amen. That day, something was burned. That day, that fire was lit in that upper room, and it would not burn out still. It's even the book of Acts recorded that Jason and the other disciples and apostles were turning their world upside down. The name of Jesus was being preached in the highways. The name of Jesus was being preached in the byways. You had those that were willing. You had those that were listening. But yet you had those who were violently oppressing the word of God that was being propagated throughout the kingdom. And Herod stood to dismiss it. Right. He said, "It's time to put an end. It's time to end this message. It's time to stop the uprising." Right. If anybody was going to stop the revival, Herod was going to do so. And what better to do it than lay hands upon one of the faithful followers? He got his hands upon James, the brother of John, the other brother of the sons of Zebedee, and he killed him. The first martyr of the New Testament church. The first disciple. The first of the faithful 12 following Jesus to be martyred at the hands of the oppression of the greatest message that could ever be given and dispersed to man's hearts, and to man's lives, and to man's ears. James would end his life at the end of a sword. Right. But because it pleased so many people, because there was such a glorious rejoicing over the life of James being ended, Herod said, "It's time to take it a step further. If you're really going to kill the snake, you got to take its head." And knowing that there was no way that he could ever lay his hands upon Jesus again, what better to do it than lay hands upon the one that is heading the church at this time? Peter was his next target. The lineage of the preacher killer sought to destroy the message that was being preached. This world is constantly wanting to silence the word of God in our kingdom. Constantly trying to silence the word of God in people's lives for the effect that it has. For it is the power of God unto salvation. There is something powerful that we carry with us. And the world does not like it. The kingdoms of this world does not like it. And if it can do anything, it will try to silence our testimony. It will try to silence our praise. It will try to silence our prayer. It will take us captive. It will hold us subject to fear and oppression. Because it did capture Peter. You would think, because Peter was one of God's chosen men, that no harm would ever come to him. Ministry is not exempt from hurt. That's right. Ministry is not exempt from painful seasons. Ministry is not exempt from personal prisons. Right. Peter was captured, and he was made sure that he was guarded on all sides. Yes, that's right. We all face times and seasons when it seems that we are bound down or held captive. We all face seasons where faith isn't exactly where we want it to be and need it to be. Right. Listen to me today. We know that Hebrews declares that the just shall live by faith. But it is true now, as it has always been. The truth is, we just live by our experiences. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, but it is easier to depend upon our five senses than it is to listen to our heart's cry. It is easier to respond to what we see, to what we think, and what we feel, rather than cling to the dreams and the hopeful visions that are in our spirits that ask for more than what our flesh are able to even attend. We can come to church and we can have hope, but how often do we respond on that hope? How often do you worship according to your faith and expectations of what you desire in God and not according to what you feel in your body or in your life? And when you can answer that question, then you can really tell me, is it true that the just shall live by faith? Or do we just live by our experience? Because we learn how to respond to God the way that we have learned how to respond to man. And because man has hurt us, and because man has let us down, and because this world has left us empty, and this world has broken us, and because this world has brought us pain, it is hard to trust God beyond our physical parameters.
That's right.
Because we have learned to live by our experiences. Because we have prayed before and God didn't answer such prayers. Because we've come to the altar asking for healing before and God didn't heal in that moment. We hold back from God. We hold back our hearts. We hold back our faith. And we hold back the possibility of seeing dreams come to pass. We all face prisons. We all face dark seasons. We all face rough times. But even in these times, we must still hold to the truth that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. Because no matter what Herod had on Peter, the church was still praying. We cannot stop being a praying people. We cannot stop being a God-focused people. We can't stop being a God-calling people because we know that there is power in prayer. We know the effectual and the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We know that there's power that comes from God to us through prayer. He said, these spirits, they don't come out but by much prayer and fasting. We know that if any request we make unto God in prayer, the Bible says, in faith believing, He will do it. He said, if my words abide in you, and you also abide in me, you should ask of my Father whatsoever you will in my name. And He said, that thing I will do. The church must pray. And whether you see it now or not, but when the church begins to pray, miracles will come knocking. But we have to have hope. We have to have faith. And we must believe. So many times we get so grief-stricken over what is going wrong that we can't even see God answering the prayers that we are crying for. We can't even see God answering the needs that we are petitioning in His room. But you don't even see the other side of the story. Because therefore when Peter was in prison and he was surrounded by four squads of soldiers, Peter was sleeping while the church was praying. While the church was in turmoil, Peter was in peace. You want to know when God is moving into the house, there will be peace in your spirit when God is in the house. Amen. Peter would later write that in him there is a peace that passes all of my understanding. There was a reason that while he was yet even in captive, knowing that that night that Herod was consenting and getting ready to end the jubilation of the church as they were celebrating the Passover, Peter knew that this was it. He had been in jail before. He had been in captivity before. But the last time we knew that Peter had been arrested, the Bible said that he was arrested because him and John preached and proclaimed the name of Jesus. And when they were going into the temple about the ninth hour of prayer, the man that sat within the gate, which was called Beautiful, asked the alms. He said, "Peter, John, do you have any money?" They said, "Neither. We don't have any money. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, "Rise up and walk." And the Bible says that they took the man by the hand. And when they touched him, immediately his limbs were made straight. And they went into the temple leaping and dancing before the Lord. But when they got word that the lame man was healed in the name of Jesus, they arrested Peter and John. They brought them to the jailhouse. They tried them. And they wanted to know by what authority this man was healed. And all of a sudden, Peter and John began to speak boldly because they were full of the Holy Ghost. But these people, these unlearned men, they supposed they had been with Jesus. But when they put them in the jail cell, the Bible said that Peter and John began to pray. But as they prayed, a great earthquake came and shook the prison. And so they had no other choice but to let Peter and John go. Thinking of another tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about a ministry. He wasn't thinking about next week, because if he was going to kill James, surely it's over for me. But even despite not knowing that their God was working on something behind the scenes, he was sleeping. We have got to have confidence in our God. We have got to have confidence in what we believe. We have got to have confidence in what we declare. We have got to have confidence in what we have hope for. We have got to have confidence in the word that the Lord has spoken into our lives, because we know that the word comes from God and it does not return to him not being undone or empty or void. The word said that the rain comes from heaven and the snow also, and it does not return thither from which it is sent, but it is accomplishing that for which it has been given. So shall my word be, for it shall not. It is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be altered by man. It cannot be changed by man. For his word shall not pass away. Amen. And if he said it would be, it shall be.
Amen.
As he said it.
Yes.
In his time.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't get confused because it hasn't happened in your time. Don't be confused because it hasn't happened on your clock, because his ways are not our ways. God was before time, and he will be when time is no more. God is not contained by time. God is not bound by time. Time is within him. He does things in his season. He performs it for his glory and not your own. But if he gives you a word, you better take it to the bank. And doesn't matter what comes your way, if you're still waiting on some prayers to be answered that God has given you a word, you might be in prison, but you can have peace. You might be confounded in your heart, but you can still have peace. You might be facing problems in the physical, but you can still have peace, because my God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it shall be so. But while he was sleeping between the two soldiers, the church was praying. You know, there's reasons why I feel that Peter had a reason to sleep. There was a reason why the Lord looked at Simon Bar-Jonas and said, "Simon Bar-Jonas, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed it to you, and I am giving you the keys. And the keys that I'm giving you are keys that are opening up a government that the gates of hell shall not prevail, because this is the rock upon which I am building my church. There's got to be a reason that Peter had peace, because he could go back to his mind and he could think about a time when he says Satan has desired to have you, Peter. He has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And that the Lord is instilling a word into his church today. He said, I'm praying that your faith has failed you not. We have got to have faith in God. We have got to have faith in his word. We got to have faith in his spirit. We got to have faith in his power. We have got to have faith in his kingdom. We have got to have faith that what he has put inside of us. He said that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. He has given us authority that in his name demons are subjected. He has given us authority that Satan is tread upon underneath our feet. He has given us authority that even if we drink any deadly thing, it should not harm us. So why are we worried about a little bit of pain?
That's right. Hallelujah.
We should sleep on through some storms in the physical sense, but alive in the spiritual, knowing that any moment now God's getting ready to show up. But Peter, knowing that he was ultimately facing his doom, he slept on. But while he was in the center of this prison, the Bible said a light shone in the prison. Revelation's always going to set in, and God's Spirit is always going to unction you. God's Spirit is always going to nudge you. God's Spirit is always going to speak a word.
Right.
Get up, Peter. Some situations have our spirit so downcast that God needs to remind you that he is on the throne. Psalms 121 said that I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Behold, the Lord which made heaven and earth, he would not slumber nor sleep. Behold, the Lord which keepeth Israel keepeth thee. We have to remember that God is always going to be reaching to lift us up. The Bible declares that many are they increased which trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. David said, many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art my glory, and thou art the lifter of my head. God is calmly speaking to his church, wake up. Look up. He's calmly speaking to his church. Get up. Rise up. Don't get downtrodden. Don't get depressed. Don't be defeated. Quit looking down. He said, look up. Your redemption's over nigh. Look up. Revival is here. Look up. Redemption is here. Look up. Salvation is here. Look up. The word is here. Look up. Your time is now.
Amen.
But if God is going to have you look, he begins to reveal things to you. And so the first thing that he does is he touches Peter. And when he touches Peter, the chains fall off.
Hallelujah.
You have got to understand, when you get into the house of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What had you bound out there should not have you bound in here. What had you locked in at home, and bound in a garden tomb somewhere, bound in a graveyard, had liberty to run to Jesus, fall on his knees and worship him, even though he had 1,000 demons inside of him. Because even if it had you bound there, when Jesus is showing up, it doesn't have you bound to get to him. When there is a touch, when there is a manifestation, there is liberty and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There is liberty in his presence. There is liberty to worship like you haven't worshiped in a long time. There is liberty to pray for things you haven't prayed for in a long time. There is liberty to praise God beyond your perimeters, beyond your own boundaries, beyond your
your own hopes, beyond your own visions, beyond what you see.
Amen.
But the thing was, all this time, Peter thinks it's just a dream. Sometimes you've got to be willing to see where the dream goes and take a chance on it. Even if you don't think that it's real. Even if you don't think that it's plausible, because we walk by faith.
Amen.
We have a hope in Him. We have a hope in Christ that goes beyond this physical life. We have a hope that God is evident in our spirit. We have a hope that God is evident in our midst. And we can see things that we would never imagine seeing in this world. Signs and miracles and wonders. Why? Because our God operates on a different plane. Our God operates on a level where cancers are healed. Where blinding eyes are opened. Where deaf ears are unstopped. When dead people come back to life again. I believe that we serve a God that is a miraculous and a miracle worker. God, a water parting, Red Sea parting, walking through on dry ground kind of God, a bringing manna down from heaven every morning kind of God, a leading through a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night kind of God, a leprosy healing God. Beyond an amen corner, I want to see some dream seekers who say, you know what, I got a dream where I see my body healed and I haven't seen it in a long time before, reaching for those things. I see children who are lost and haven't come back to God in a long time. I see the doors opening and children fled. I see a 500 seat a new sanctuary in this town. Church starts praying, miracles will come knocking. All of a sudden, the angels beginning to walk Peter outside of prison. He walks him from the inner ward. He walks him out past the iron gates. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord leaves Peter. And the whole time, he thought it was nothing but a dream. But his dream led him to liberty. His dream
dream led him out from captivity into freedom. His dream walked him into a place where there was no escape, to a place where he was walking, getting ready to go to the house where the church was praying for his deliverance. The problem was, is when he got there and he knocked on the door, Rhoda, the young servant, said, "Hey, it's Peter," and shut the door on the miracle.
When she goes and she tells the people, Peter's standing outside. Even the church begins to say, "That's not possible."
Come on.
Because the truth remains that we have faith to tell people that we believe God can, but we don't believe God will. Because I'm alone on that one. They were praying for Peter's deliverance. And when Peter comes knocking, they said, "That's not possible. I don't want to be guilty of shutting the door on the very miracle that I've been praying for." Yeah. When God walks it into my life and say, "You know what? That can't be." Just as Jacob would destroy Joseph's own dream, I don't want to be the one that's held guilty of having shut down a work that God has wrought because somebody has been praying. Whether you think it's possible or not, it's time we start taking a chance on a dream. The only way that you will ever see where the dream leads is if you follow it to where it will take you.
Amen.
I told you we've got to be visionaries this morning. I told you that God wants to lead us into places where we haven't been before. But you got to get ready. You got to wake up. But you got to start taking a chance on the dream. We all have needs and we all have burdens that we carry. And to some, it would be a dream for us to receive a miracle right now in the presence of God. There was a woman that had an issue of blood in herself. And the Bible said that she said in herself, she said it in her own conscience. She made a verbal declaration, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." Yes. Up until that point, there was no precedent for it. It hadn't even been done before. How could you say such things and receive it? But there's something about declaring something in faith and hope, believing Scripture, and hope believing in the one that you have trust in, and hope believing in the one that has all the power in heaven in his hands and flowing through his wings. And so she gets down on her knees and she begins to crawl and get to Jesus, and she can't get to him because of the press. You know how many times people couldn't get to Jesus because of other people?
Come on.
We should never be a hindrance in somebody finding Jesus.
Come on.
Amen.
We should never be an obstacle for somebody to get to Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus was teaching in a house and nobody could get to him because of the bread, because of all of the people. So you know what three fellas did? They decided to tear a roof, a hole in the roof. It wasn't even their own house. You've got to be willing to make a way where there is no way to get your need to where it needs to be.
Come on.
Worship is between you and him, not you and them. Don't be an obstacle for people to have to get through. Don't look at somebody else's worship and start looking at it like, you know what, it's a little bit out of place. They don't belong here today. No. They need Jesus. Don't get in their way. They need Jesus. They need a clutch. They need deliverance. She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately virtue flew from him. Yeah, she was made whole. You know how she was made whole? The touch did something, but it was when he looked at her and he said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole."
Come on.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
There are spiritual workings that are released in our lives that we don't even realize yet until that word comes forth. The Bible said in Luke chapter 13, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity. And some of us have been dealing with stuff for so long, it is not just a physical thing anymore, it's a spiritual thing. She had a spiritual infirmity and she was bowed down and couldn't even lift up herself. But when he saw her, he called her to him. He saw her where she was and he called her to where he was. And he said, "Woman, thou art loose." He loosed the word into her. The spirit of infirmity was gone, but her body was still bound. And he touched her and immediately she was made straight. You see, we don't just need the word, we need intercession. We don't just need the word by itself, we need a touch from heaven. We need a reaching. We need to take a chance on our dreams. It's not just a physical healing, and it's not just a touch within our body. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said that he hung between two malefactors. And the one looked at Jesus and he accused him. "If you are who you say you are, why don't you come down and save us also?" As if he had any reason to have to save him. But the other malefactor quickly speaks up and says, "Hold your peace. Shut your mouth. We are dying for sins that we have committed. And this man has done nothing wrong." You see, to be a Jew and to die the death of a crucifixion was a horrendous thing. And your name was to be blotted out of your heritage and of your lineage. Paul would later write of this, of the blotting out of ordinances, I believe. Literally, their names were completely written out. They wouldn't sit and talk about you at the Passover table. Family holidays, your name wasn't even to be mentioned. You weren't even to be remembered. If you had children, they were to never speak or know of their father. You were completely forgotten. And this man looks at Jesus and he said, "Would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom?" See, I know it's a long shot. I know that I'm going to be forgotten. It's just a dream. But would you remember me? I have no other hope, and it doesn't seem feasible, but I'm asking now, would you remember me? You'll never know what God can do and will do with your life until you ask Him.
Come on.
So you might as well take a chance on this dream. And the Lord said, this day. I want to tell somebody right now, this day the Lord has said, salvation has come to your house. But will you take a chance on your dream? You want to be free from thoughts that don't need to be in your life anymore? Will you take a chance on repentance? Will you take a chance on giving your heart to the Lord today? You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Why don't you take a chance on it? Why don't you step into a new day and into a new life and into a new tomorrow, into a new soul that God has for you to be and become who God has intended for you to be? It's time to start taking a chance. You want God to touch your body? Why don't you start taking a chance on asking Him? You want God to move in your heart? Why don't you take a chance and ask Him?
Hallelujah. Yes.
You'll never know until you start taking a chance.
Yes, that is right. That's right.
Father, we stand on our feet. If you feel like you're bound in a personal prison, you feel like you're bound in a cage of sin, if you're bound in your body with pain, if there is hope in your heart for freedom, why don't you lift your hands and lift your voice to the Lord right now?